Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, the weather outside is frightening.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful here. I mean, it was wonderful. Not a footprint to be seen, to be honest with you. It was so deep and crisp and even and wonderful. It was like a kingdom of isolation. It was absolutely lovely, the snow, this weekend.
It's very well summed up for the United Kingdom's position at the moment, a kingdom of isolation.
Well, the cold never bothered us anyway, so we're okay.
And did you get out there and build a snowman?
Well, we did build a snowman. It turned into a snow bunny. I don't know if it's because the snowman looked a bit funny or Amelia wanted something slightly different, but it was good. You know, normally in England, the snow is that sleety, yucky, horrible kind of stuff that never sticks together. This is cotton wool snow, blended beautifully, rolled lovely. It was absolutely delightful.
Okay, I saw them clearing the snow off the pitch at Stamford Bridge before the FA Cup game yesterday.
Yeah, they were. They did a good job, didn't they? And Chelsea managed to beat the mighty Luton yesterday. You must be very pleased.
Yeah, it's your favourite song, isn't it? Luton Airport.
Who are you?
Pick your pardon.
Isn't that how it goes? Who are you, Luton Airport? I don't know.
Said the boy from Milton Keynes.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay, markets. Sort of flirting with record highs, but Wall Street pulled back a bit on Friday. Signs that the job market's going in the wrong direction. Of course, rising cases of coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. There is pressure not only on the economy, but also, of course, what's happening with the pandemic and the speed of the vaccine rollout, no doubt, is high in terms of investors' minds. But should remember, over the course of the week, US markets notched up impressive gains. Investors warming to the prospect of an aggressive spending Biden administration. Also pleased around the idea that Janet Yellen will become Treasury Secretary. Fourth quarter earnings season getting underway as well. So Wall Street actually powered ahead last week. S&P 500 up 2.1%. Its biggest weekly advance since the end of November. In Europe, not such a bright picture. Record daily deaths registered in Germany and the UK. Warnings of lockdown extensions, along with that PMI data that showed services remained in contraction. Holding back equity markets in Europe, Stoxx 600 was up, but it was only up 0.2%. We are, however, looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 13 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 33 points. CAC in Paris up 6 points.
I think we might be joining in lockdown sometime later this week.
Curfew, lockdown, it's all coming your way.
Yeah. Yes, you mentioned earnings season. Normally you'd be scurrying around a Canary Wharf, sort of bumming coffee off people, looking at
Too
the results.
Let's go on to the earnings scorecard, shall we? According to data from Refinitiv, 66 S&P 500 companies have reported. 88% have beaten analyst estimates for earnings, 78% have beaten on the revenue side, well above the long-term average. Of course, US banks have led the early reporting. Their numbers showed robust fourth quarter figures, helped by a surge in revenue at trading divisions, particularly equities, of course, driven by that wild volatility created by the pandemic, the unprecedented central bank action. Investment banking revenues have also jumped as banks were called to help companies raise debt and equity, as well as advise on merger and acquisition deals. Other features of the bank's reporting season include increasingly releasing reserves set aside for credit losses. Loan delinquencies, you could argue, have remained significantly below the dire forecast at the start of the pandemic. There are signs that household spending has picked up over the course of the past quarter. Loan growth, you have to say, has been lackluster and expected to remain so over the course of the coming months. The question is, of course, how long will it last? Trading desks have benefited from this perfect storm that's unlikely to be repeated. Reality is, I guess, future fortunes will be determined by the speed of the recovery and the path of normalisation for the banks.
Any sledging going on in your part of the world? Or
no, there wasn't that much of that around. I mean, we're not supposed to be out and about and playing on hills and getting out.
You can go for your daily exercise.
That's true. I don't know if getting a sledge out contributes to that concept.
So, well, Box Hill's not far away, is it?
It's not far away, actually. Yeah, you know, well, nip into Denby's for a glass of wine.
And Collie Hill as well. That's not far away, either.
I don't know that one, but I didn't see too many people out and about. People in their gardens, perhaps a little bit, but nothing beyond that.
Well, you have to be careful at your age, don't you? You don't want
this
to slip on the ice and fall over.
My back. No. It's like a skating ring. As much as yesterday was nice, it's all slushy and frozen overnight, and it's absolutely treacherous out there this morning.
Well, it's because you'll be not going anywhere then.
Well, I was just about to say, like, one day in the last year, I'm glad I'm not commuting to Canary Wharf this morning.
Diamonds are a girl's best friends.
apparently so. And back in fashion, De Beers has implemented its biggest price increase for diamonds in years. The industry bounces back from the pandemic-induced lockdown. The world's biggest diamond producer raised prices by around 5% at its first sale of the year. The increase applies to stones bigger than 1 carat, so probably wouldn't have influenced your purchases. The diamond industry recovery has surprised many after being brought to standstill, of course, in the first half of last year, resulting in retailers' factories being closed down. The good news was that crucial holiday sales in the US and China were strong. Also signs that middlemen have had a shortage of stock, which has also created supply problems and helped to boost prices.
Yeah, and just looking at the data on the new gas and oil exploration, Henk, and really big falls last year, signalling that we are moving towards a more green economy, hopefully.
Well, there's two elements to that. The reality is, of course, that companies dramatically cut back on investment. They cut that capital expenditure given the big falls that we saw in oil prices. They were forced to do so. Of course, it wasn't the economics weren't in place in order for it to pump oil in a profitable fashion. The second part to that is inevitably this transition to a green agenda, the green economy. And you talk to the oil majors, they're talking about peak oil demand somewhere over the course of the next decade or so, and the idea that they will have to make that aggressive transition. And that's where the focus has been coming through from.
And how's Brexit going then?
It's going swimmingly well. We're absolutely fine, thank you.
What?
No problems there whatsoever. We haven't got any food or anything on our shelves in the supermarket, and we can't export anything.
Really?
But other than that, we're in a pretty good shape.
Is Waitrose running low on stuff?
Not Waitrose. I think some of the other ones, Mummy. Some of the other.
Because John Redwood says that we should just sort of grow more of our own, which, you know, if only the British banana and orange industry would wake up, you know.
They've been very lazy about doing that. What did Mrs. Potts tell me? There's certain things that you cannot buy at the moment. I don't know which. Some vegetables she likes, I don't know.
Vegetables.
She was talking to me about something that you cannot get. Aubergine. That's what it was. Aubergine. Apparently, there's no aubergines in the UK.
Oh, dear. Well, the future is investing in Europe, according to the Department for International Trade.
Well, I think they're suggesting that companies, in order to deal with some of the problems with the initial understanding of the way in which the UK will operate with the European Union, they could set up offices, subsidiaries in Europe to overcome the red tape. Is that right?
Yeah. Is that going to benefit the UK economy to any great extent, do you think, or...?
Add to companies' costs a little bit, has to be said. A little bit of extra confusion, a little bit of,
Well, it might add to their costs a little bit, but on the plus side, it means they won't have to pay sort of exorbitant customs duties.
This is very true. So we're starting to understand exactly what the new rules and regulations mean in practice.
Well, it's much better to be tied up by red, white and blue tape, isn't it, than bureaucratic Brussels red tape.
Or blue and gold tape it should be, I suppose, from Brussels.
Foreign exchanges.
You always try to get me into trouble on this Brexit thing, don't you? Pound against the dollar, 1.37. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. Going to get 1 euro, 12.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Have you thought about doing a barbecue in the snow?
Oh, the barbecue can go all year round. I've done barbecues in the snow before. No problems out there. Last night, the snow was glowing white on the mountain. It was beautiful.
Mountain? How many mountains have you got in Cobham?
Box Hill. Beautiful.
Oh, it's not really a mountain now, is it?
Look wonderful.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.